Welcome to the Life Podcast. We're so glad that you're joining us for another hope-filled message. We pray that you're encouraged by this powerful word from our Sunday service.
I've loved our legacy campaign, just like Pastor Luke said. What a phenomenal time. What an amazing church to be a part of that believes we're not just here for the here and now, but we're here to make a difference. Imagine if every one of us walked out this week with legacy being more than a three-week period that we looked at that word in church, but legacy became a way of life. Imagine if we committed to saying, God, would you use my life to make a difference in the lives of others? And I'm a part of this amazing campaign. At the end of 2020, we're going to have an amazing story and we're going to have a party and we're going to glorify God for what he's done. But can I tell you, legacy doesn't end at the end of 2020. Legacy is not a campaign, it's a Christian thing. Legacy is about saying the God in me can make a difference through me wherever I go. And I love, whether online or here in the auditorium, I love how Jesus taught us to pray. He said, pray like this: Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth, here and now, as it's already been done in heaven. That's legacy, is that we get the opportunity wherever we are. I've got my friend Rose Urban on the front row here, and she works at Farmers in the social media department. She's not at Farmers in the social media department to do social media. She's at Farmers in the social media department to bring a little bit of heaven into Farmers so that her workmates can feel a sense of there's hope where I am. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And every time we talk about legacy, I can't help but think of a great friend of mine. His name's Arthur Malcolm Stace. And I don't know if you've ever heard of Arthur Malcolm Stace, but Arthur was born in 1885 in Sydney. He's a great friend of mine. He grew up in an alcoholic home, and by the age of 15, he was on the same trajectory of carrying on the lineage of alcoholism. And by age 15, he found himself at a crossroads, so he decided to go and join the military to get himself cleaned up, only to find that going to war doesn't stop you being an alcoholic because you take you wherever you go. And when he got back, his alcoholism was even greater than before he went to war, and he found himself in a place where he was homeless and rummaging through the garbage trying to find enough food to live. In 1930, when he was about 45 years old, he found himself in a church in St. Barnabas. Someone had invited him with the promise of a cup of tea and a scone. How many know food is a great way to invite people to church? Do you know why we do food after the 6 p.m.? Little secret. So you can invite someone to church after 6 p.m. So tonight we have on, I have no idea. We've got food on after tonight. It's $5 dinners. And we can see it tonight for food. But Arthur found himself in church with the promise of a cup of tea and a scone. Halfway through the service, he leaned over to a friend of his who was also a homeless gentleman. And he said, look at those people and look at us. I'm going to try what they've got. And in that service, gave his life to Jesus Christ. Fast forward 2 years later, and he was in the same church. And there was a preacher by the name of John Ridley. And he was preaching a message on eternity, and Arthur heard these words: eternity, eternity, I wish I could shout or sound that word to everyone in the streets of Sydney. You've got to meet it. Where will you spend eternity? That word grabbed Arthur so deeply that he decided that every morning he'd get up before work. He'd got a job by this stage, and he'd get up before dawn, and he would go throughout the streets of Sydney with yellow chalk and write the word eternity all over the streets of Sydney. In fact, the city council arrested him 24 times for defacing public property, and when he went to court, he says, I'm doing this with higher authority, and they let him go. I don't suggest you do that with your speeding ticket on the way home because they may take you somewhere else, but they let him go. It is estimated that he wrote the word eternity 500,000 times over the streets of Sydney. No one knew who was behind the chalk for decades. In fact, in 1967, Arthur passed away and there was no fanfare, there was no televised funeral, there was no big deal about his passing. No one actually realized that he passed, but his legacy lived on. If you were around in the year 2000, how many were here for the year 2000? You got to ask that these days, right? That was a long time ago. In the year 2000, when they told us the world was going to crash, remember that? The Y2K, all the computers are going to stop, all your bank accounts are gone, your medical records are gone, the whole world's going to implode. Sounds a little bit like what they're telling us today, but too soon. In the year 2000, when everyone was worried about the whole world crashing, Sydney and this end of the world sees the new year in first, and all over the television screens of the globe was this picture of the Sydney Harbour Bridge lit up with the word eternity in the same way that Arthur used to write it. There's a reason the word eternity has so much sticking power, because by its very nature, online, it outweighs everything. And you know what legacy is about? Legacy is about using my life now to make a difference in eternity. Why do we as a church want to invest $20 million a year worth of community impact? Because it's going to help someone now and it's going to echo into eternity. Why do we want to have churches that lift up the name of Jesus all over our city and in Melbourne and wherever we are? Why? Because it makes a difference now and it echoes into eternity. That we can make a difference in eternity by saying, God, let your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Just imagine this rope represents time. The Bible says we get about 70 years. Some of us a little longer, some of us a little shorter, but we get about 70 years. That's 70 birthdays, 70 Christmases, 70 New Year's Eves, countless dinners with friends, countless conversations, countless moments that we have. Now let's say this rope, I'm gonna ask some friends of mine, Josh, come on up here. I'm gonna ask some friends of mine to stretch this rope out. And let's say that this rope represents eternity, not just one life, but this rope represents eternity. And if we stretch it out and say that, okay, my little bit is at the end of that, can I tell you that eternity is not 10 times this rope, not 20 times this rope, not 50 times this rope, but eternity is this rope going on forever and ever and ever. And you and I can make a difference with our here and now that has echoes into eternity. I've called this message Echoes in Eternity. And here's the big thought. When we live our today in light of eternity, it can influence any moment. When I live my now in light of eternity, it can influence any moment. And there have been people all along history that have lived their life in light of eternity, and we are the beneficiaries of that. Let's just say that this end of the rope represents where Jesus was born. There's basically 20 markers along this rope. If you are real detailed, don't count, because I think there's 20-ish markers along this rope. And if every one of those represents 100 years, then that's basically from where Jesus was to where we are today. How many thank God that somewhere along here, some fishermen said yes to God and birthed the local church, and it has an echo into our today and way beyond. And then when you come along here, there are ladies like Frances Willard, who was a lady in the early 1300s, and she felt like that women's voices needed to be raised up because women weren't valued the same as men back then. So she raised up and she really became a voice for women having an influence in the church. And listen, God is no respecter of gender. It's the Holy Spirit on someone that makes a difference. So the Holy Spirit on a female or the Holy Spirit on a male can have a voice and make a huge difference in life. And then there's Martin Luther King, who made a huge difference with his life and had an echo that we are feeling today. And then you come along and Thomas Edison created the light bulb. I mean, thank God. Ladies, imagine getting up, putting your makeup on at 5:30 in the morning with no light bulb. And you come along here and thank God for Billy Graham, who said, I'm gonna use my now and create an echo in eternity. And you come a bit further along here and there is legends like Nellie Dionne, who gave birth to 8 children. That's a lot of nappies. That's a lot of dinners. That's a lot of cooking and cleaning, but she saw God in the midst of what God was asking her to do, and she instilled God values into those kids, and she prayed with those kids, and all of them have their own journey with God, but one of them said yes, and we are here today because Nellie De Jong invested her time and is having an impact into eternity. What about Si Rogers? Si Rogers, who was a messed up teenager, discovered God and said, God, I can use my today to bring heaven to earth. And now there are hundreds of thousands of people all over our globe who, because of Si and his yes to God and him bringing heaven to earth and seeing his now in light of eternity and changing moments, we're changed. And there's thousands of us in our church that have been impacted by Si. Why? Because he's a normal guy like you and I who said, God, I can make a difference with my now and bring heaven into earth. And then somewhere along here, there's a guy by the name of Michael Crow. Michael Crow was a milkman that lived 5 houses down from me when I was 15 years old. My house was anything but simple growing up. There was all sorts of stuff going on behind closed doors with alcoholism and abuse, but when we were out in public, my dad used to speak at churches and counsel people, and it was 2 very different worlds. And when I was 15 years old, Michael Crow came and knocked on our door and he said, hey, would you like a job over the summer? Being a good Christian boy, I asked the only question, how much does it pay? He said, $15 an hour. I'm like, I'm in. I thought I could buy a house by the end of summer at $15 an hour, right? This is rich man's land. I'm there. 4 weeks into delivering, I've got to be honest with you, delivering milk is terrible at 5:30 in the morning, trying to turn and lift and all that. So I had vertigo for about a month. But at 8:30 every morning, we'd take a break. And we'd get a bacon buddy. And we'd sit at the beach. And I remember one morning, Michael looks at me and he goes, hey, how's home? And for the first time in my life, I told someone what was going on. He looked at me in the eye and he said, Scott, Jesus has a plan for your life and he can help you build forward from here and change the generations to come. I'm here today because a milkman used his milk run to say, God, let me use what is in my hand to speak to someone and bring life and hope that your kingdom would come, your will would be done on earth as it is in heaven. When we live our today in light of eternity, it doesn't matter whether you have a microphone in your hand or whether you've got a hammer in your hand, whether you use as an accountant, whatever you do, you can make a difference in the lives of others. That's legacy. Is that we'd have echoes into eternity. Thank you, guys. You can drop the rope. I love what Pastor Paul said during legacy. Legacy is an outcome of focused investment. And for 3 weeks, we focused on what our financial focused investment was, but what would it look like if we lived a life of focused investment? With my time, with my talent. God, what are you calling me to do? I want you to look at 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 1. It says this, for we know that when this tent we live in now is taken, when we die and leave these bodies, we will have wonderful new bodies in heaven. And everyone said? There's a lot of loud amens. Homes that will be ours forevermore. For God made for us by God, him made for us by God himself and not by human hands. How weary we grow of our present bodies. That is why we look forward eagerly to the day where we shall have heavenly bodies that we shall put on like new clothes. For we shall not merely be spirits without bodies. These earthly bodies make us groan and sigh, but we wouldn't like to think of dying and having no bodies at all. We would want to slip into our new bodies so that the dying bodies would be gone, as it were, swallowed up by everlasting life. This is what God has prepared for us. And as a guarantee, he has given us his Holy Spirit. Now we look forward with, excuse me. I was trying to do that really subtly. It wasn't working. That God has prepared for us for everlasting life. This is what God has prepared for us as a guarantee. As a guarantee, He has given us His Holy Spirit. Now we look forward with confidence to our heavenly bodies, realizing that every moment we spend in these earthly bodies is time spent away from our eternal home in heaven with Jesus. We know that these things are true by believing and not seeing, and yet we are not afraid, but we are quite content to die. For when we die, we will be at home with the Lord. Here's the part. So our aim is to please Him always in everything we do, whether here in the body or away from the body, with Him in heaven. For we must stand before Christ and to be judged and have our lives laid bare before Him. Each of us will receive whatever he deserves for the good or bad things that he has done in this heavenly body. I love what the Apostle Paul says. Therefore, our goal should be to please Him. Not when we get to heaven, but while we're here in our earthly tents, our goal should be to please Him. When I go to work on Monday, my goal should be to please Him. When I'm at home and I'm about to lose it with my kids, which never happens in my house but happens at your house, my goal should be to please Him. When I get disappointed or let down, my goal should be to please Him. When I have a big win at work and get a big bonus, my goal should be to please Him. When I'm at rugby, playing rugby on a Saturday at club level, my goal should be to please Him. It's not about whether I don't do this or I do that, or I'm in that job or that job. It's whatever is in my hand, my goal should be to please Him. You know, as a parent, there is a phenomenal moment when your kids go from obeying a rule to reflecting a relationship. Your kids kind of transition at some point where they do what you ask them to do, not just because you're asking them to do that, but because the relationship you've built with them, they see that you've got their best interests at heart, and all of a sudden they go, I want to do that, not because I'm going to get smacked if I don't, but because I know it'll go well for me if I do. And God's heart is not that we would be these religious people who follow rules because we're scared of getting smacked, but God, you know best, and you want my life to count for something, so my goal out of relationship should be to please you. So if we're going to create echoes in eternity, I want to give you two thoughts this morning. Number one, heaven isn't just a destination, it's a motivation. Heaven isn't just a destination, it's a motivation. You know, the more I think about heaven and eternity, the more I want to do for it. I cringe a little bit when I hear people talk about the fact that how we shouldn't be focused on heaven, we should be focused on the here and now. It reminds me of that old hymn that was inspired out of the book of Hebrews that says this, turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in His wonderful face. I'm looking at all the oldies, they're mouthing the words at the moment. And the youngies are like, turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in His wonderful face. Come on, if you know it, say it with me. That the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of His glorious grace. The more we remember that our life here on earth is but a vapor. If this represents from when Jesus was born to my little bit, eternity goes on infinitely beyond that. Our life here is a vapor, but our home is heaven. The more we're motivated to do things here that will have ramifications there, the more we're using our life the way God wants us to use our life. Does that mean I have to give up everything and become a monk and go to a monastery and pray all day long? Not unless God asks you to do that, but what it does mean is if you're a builder, use it to create echoes in eternity. If you're an accountant, use it to create echoes in eternity. Don't think I'm gonna have to give up my job and work for a church. Goodness gracious, if you can run from working for a church, run all you can. But those of us who are called to do that, we have to give in at some point. You're not called to do what I'm told to do, and I'm not called to do what you're called to do, but together we can create echoes in eternity all over our city so that there are vibrations of heaven and earth all over our city. 1 Thessalonians 4 says this, and make it your ambition to lead a quiet life. You should mind your own business. Amanda tells me that all the time. And work with your hands, just as I told you, so that your daily life may win the respect of outsiders, those outside of church, so that you will not be dependent on anybody. Eternity shouldn't make us weird Christians sitting at the rapture bus stop waiting for Jesus to come back. Eternity should make us more effective in the here and the now, knowing I've got this slight amount of time to bring heaven into earth. When I know what is beyond the grave, it changes the way I live before the grave. So number one, heaven isn't just a destination, it's a motivation. Number two, getting to heaven takes grace. Getting rewarded in heaven takes grit. We love to hear about the grace that gets me into heaven. But what about the part where God says, I've got some stuff for you to do on earth. Getting you into heaven's on me. What you do with your life on earth is on you. Getting to heaven takes grace. Getting rewarded takes grit. You know, the Bible teaches that there are two judgments once we pass on from this life and we go and stand before our Creator. There are two judgments. One that will take place is the great white throne judgment. Every human being will stand at the great white throne judgment, and that's where we tell God what we did with the gift of grace in His Son Jesus. Did we accept Jesus as our Lord and Savior? We all have to answer that question, because the Bible says this: no one can come to the Father but through Jesus. Jesus loved you so much that He gave His life to create a pathway between disconnect from God and relationship with God. And what we have to do is we have to answer to God and say, what did we do with Jesus when He offered us grace? The second judgment is for Christians, and it's called the judgment seat of Christ. It's where we give an account for what we did with our lives here on earth. Romans 14, 10 says this: you, then why do you judge your brother or sister, or why do you treat them with contempt? For we will all stand before God's judgment seat. The Apostle Paul is actually talking about a literal award ceremony. If you go to Corinth today, you'll find steps that go up to a platform where literally athletes that competed in the games would come up the steps, and they would be presented the award or the prize for how they ran their race. And when the Apostle Paul is talking about the judgment seat of Christ, he's talking about people literally saying, going to God and answering for how they ran their race. Not answering in a fearful way, but answering in a way of, God, I did everything you asked me to do. I had my eyes open for opportunity. Not I changed careers, but when I went to school as a teacher, I was Holy Spirit all day. Help me to speak words of life and words of hope. That when I go to the supermarket, I bring heaven to earth. That I used my life to create echoes into eternity. And the Bible literally talks about awards being given out online, awards being given out, that there will be crowns given out, whether literal or other, but there'll be crowns, that there'll be clothing given out. Someone once said, what we're weaving now, we will one day wear. That there will be jobs and levels of authority in charge. You know, heaven is not a bunch of fat cupids flying around. Heaven, we continue on in relationship with God, and based on how we do this life is based on what responsibility He gives us in heaven. That's what the Bible teaches. It's not a judgment of whether you stay in heaven or not. That's decided long ago. Jesus paid the price for us to get into heaven. You will not find one person in heaven who deserves to be there or who made it themselves. We are in heaven because of the grace of God. Is anyone thankful for the grace of Jesus Christ? That is answered question. That question is absolutely answered. Ephesians 2 says this: for it is by grace you have been saved through faith. This is not from yourselves, it is a gift from God, not by works, that no one should boast. For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. Grace is how we get there. Grit is how we get rewarded. Getting to heaven is an issue of grace, but getting rewarded is an issue of grit. 1 Corinthians chapter 9 says this, everyone who competes in the games goes into strict training. They do it to get a crown that will not last, but we do it to get a crown that will last forever. Do you think athletes like chicken with the skin off? No one likes chicken with the skin off. It's always better with the skin on. Do you think they don't like the French fries and they sub them out for broccoli because they like broccoli more than French fries? No. Do you think they drink protein shakes because they like the taste of cardboard? No. They do it to receive a reward. And what the Apostle Paul is saying is run your race in such a way that you will maximize your race to receive the reward that God has for you. See, when you come to the judgment seat of Christ, this judgment isn't a sin judgment, it's an eternal significance issue. Again, in that moment, you're not going to answer for sins because Jesus paid that price. He's looking to see whether my deeds were good or bad. You're like, hold on. I thought you just said sin wasn't there. Sin's not there. In the original language, there's two words for good and for bad. Bad as in malice, bad as in sinful, bad as in harmful. Then there's another word of bad, which is fruitful or fruitless. Over lockdown, we had a few parcels delivered. I'm in the wonderful stage in life where my kids have their own bank accounts and they jump on Alibaba and they order a whole bunch of stuff. And one of my daughters, who will remain nameless, but she's the oldest, ordered something. ordered something online, and just after lockdown, it turned up. We get the courier comes and he reaches into the back of his van and picks up a box. I'm not kidding you. I go and get the box off the courier, take it to the dining room table, watch said daughter open the box. The minute she took that first bit of sticky tape off the top of the box, the thing pinged open and thousands of those stupid little styrofoam peanut things popped out everywhere. And my son got a puppy for Christmas. So about 5 minutes after that, my house, I'm a neat freak. My house was covered in those stupid, worthless polystyrofoam things because she's digging through the box to find the thing and she pulls out the box. And it's a nail dryer that you put your hands in after you painted your nails. Imagine if she pushed aside the nail driver and focused all of her attention on the styrofoam bits. That's what the Apostle Paul is talking about, is don't live a life consumed with stuff that's not sinful. It's just not helpful. It just doesn't move. Listen, life is more than the accumulation of stuff and the bank account and the hobbies and all. Is it wrong to have an accumulation? If you like a car, a nice car, go buy a nice car. If you're into rugby and you want to spend your Saturdays playing rugby, then go do that. If you're into cycling and you want to, well, you need to get into rugby. Matt Linton? If you see a white flash of spandex on early in the morning, Matt Linton, that's the guy. Listen, it's not about what we do and don't do. It's not about sin and not sin. It's God, will I use what is in my hand to bring eternal significance into my here and my now? When I'm cycling with the guys, can I believe you for a moment to bring hope, to talk to that one guy who's got a challenge, and I can bring Jesus into that and make a difference, because we are called to create echoes in eternity. In that place, he's sorting through the significant and the worthless. In light of eternity, is what I have done everything I could have done? He's looking to reward me. Look, you'll get some churches that'll tell you he's there with a big stick to beat you for the things you didn't do. That's not what this is. God is a good God and a Father who wants to reward you and wants to give you what is coming to you because of the way you ran your race. Well, can't he just give equal amounts to everyone? Listen, I'm a dad. One of my kids is a natural athletic. Two of them, not so much. So when it comes to player of the day, two of my kids always get it on the second to last game of the season. Why? Because they haven't got it yet. Not because they had a great game, because it was fair. And under eight, everyone has to get it. And I'm there thinking, what about the poor guy that worked his butt off and that take it off my kid and give it to that kid because he worked really hard. God is going to reward us based on how we ran our race. Here's the question. What did I do with the life Jesus gave me? Ben, come on back. He sent his son. He gives us the Holy Spirit as a homing device to keep us pointed towards our eternal destination. He gives us his word. He gives us his church. And when it all is said and done, he says, what did you do with what I gave you? I want to bless you. I want to reward you. I want to give you a medal of sorts for the life that you have lived. But do I find you focusing on the stupid little styrofoam or on the opportunities that are there day by day? Would we be a church that walks into our Monday saying, Holy Spirit, let me see the opportunity to bring legacy and to create an echo. Let me be Michael Crow the milkman, where I don't have to give up my milk run to follow God. I just have to put my milk run in the Lord's hands and say, God, use it to make a difference in the lives of others. When Micah was born, I was going to use a story because I spent a lot of time in hospital just a little while ago, but I didn't want you to go, well, that's fine for you, you're a pastor. When Micah was born, we spent 12 weeks in hospital because she was born early. She's my oldest daughter. She's the one that ordered the stop ordering stuff. And every time we went into hospital, this one doctor came and said, every time you come in, we tell you something else that could go wrong. Why are you so happy? I said, oh, We're concerned. But ultimately, our hope's not in you. Our hope's in something greater. Over the next 8 weeks, we told her about who Jesus was in our life. She was at Micah's baby dedication, and to my knowledge, she's still at the church that we attended in America. Because God wants to even use the tough stuff of life to create an echo into eternity. Romans says he brings good out of all things. Every day we've got the opportunity to bring the heaven in us to the world around us. Would you stand to your feet? Online, if you're available and you can and it's convenient, would you stand to your feet? Because my prayer is that although we may walk into church for the next little while and not see legacy signs around because legacy campaign is over, the campaign may be over, but our commitment to creating legacy never ends. Part of how we create legacy is partnering with what we're believing for so that we can be putting $20 million into community impact. But when you go to work on Monday, when you, like Nelly, are raising 8 kids, can you see eternity in that moment? Say, God, let me bring eternity so that I can create echoes. Because we're not here to play church and we're not here to be saved from the big bad world. We're here to take the heaven in us into our rugby clubs on a Saturday, into our cycling early mornings, into our workplaces, our PwC accountancy firms, into our checkout at the supermarket. Whatever you do, God, Holy Spirit, let me have eyes. Do I have to walk out of here with a great big pressure if I have to do something? No. Just walk out here with a commitment. Holy Spirit, let my eyes see the opportunities that are in front of me so that I don't miss one of them. And if that's your prayer, we're going to sing a song. We're going to take a moment. We're going to sing a song. And the song's all about the heaven that's in me being the loudest voice. And if you say, Scott, today I'm going to make a commitment to live a life that creates echoes in eternity, would you lift both hands to heaven? I've got my hands, my feet, everything. Say, God, use me use me. Father, I pray for every person with their hand raised that we'd go into this week with a commitment to make a difference. Holy Spirit, we don't have to be different. We don't have to try and be anything. But Holy Spirit, we just have to have our eyes open to see the opportunities that are in front of us. In this moment, would you seal and help us see heaven in us?
Whether now or then, death is not my end. I know heaven waits for me. Though the road seems long, I'll never walk alone. And I got all I need to sing. I know you love me. I know you found me. I know you saved me. And your grace will never fail. And while I'm waiting, I'm not waiting. I know heaven lives in me. I know you love me. I know you found me. I know you saved me. And your grace will never fail. And while I'm waiting, I'm not waiting. I know heaven lives in me. Sing holy, holy, my heart cries holy as it is in heaven, it is me.
Church, will we make that our prayer today? As it is in heaven. That as we walk into our week this week, we would walk in with a conviction that heaven is in us. That wherever we go, we can create an echo in eternity by bringing hope into hopeless situations with a word of encouragement, with a simple acceptance of someone. God, we can create echoes in eternity. So God, use our church. Use us as individuals to make a difference in Jesus' name.
Thanks for listening to this podcast. We trust that you were encouraged by this powerful message. You always have a place to call home here at Life, and we invite you to join us for our Sunday services at any of our Auckland campuses. If you're not in Auckland, then check us out, church online, wherever you are in the world. Just head to lifenz.org or download the Life app to stay connected and find out more.